those of you that were saved later in life, just for a minute, don't do it very long because you don't want to, you know, undo some of the great things that God's done for you by meditating on the wrong thing. But just for a minute, and to give glory to God, cast back in your memory and remember your life before Jesus. Now come forward and look what God has done. Come forward and look what God has done for you. Say, how many areas have you been set free in? How many? Do you know if it's one, it's worth it? How much drama is not in your life? How many relationships has God shifted around? And now instead of craziness, there's peace. That's for God's glory. That's supernatural. That's a miracle. That's just as miraculous as someone rising from the dead. Because in a very real way, when you were saved from eternal death, you did rise from the dead. Yes. And the life that you now live, you live in Christ.
Yes, amen. That's right. Amen. That is very right. That's right.
Many times we want something spectacular, but we miss the supernatural because, oh, well, they're just teaching. They're just teaching. I guess I can leave the service early. They're just teaching. Oh, I can probably come to service late today. They've sung the same praise and worship songs for the last 2 years, and they're just going to teach anyway.
Yeah. All good.
You're not a participator with God. You're a spectator of God.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yep. 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 You don't actually love Him. You're just enamored with Him. Just like when you were dating, you looked for the one that was hot, not for the one that was dependable. Somebody better have a car ready for me. Just saying. You know, sometime you ought to go look up what the Apostle Paul said was the definition of real religion. He said it. He said, true religion is this. You ought to go look it up. I'm not going to tell you. You go, you got a Bible? You can look it up. My goodness, BibleGateway.com. We have the Bible everywhere. The Bible's more prolific in this age than it ever has been. If you want somebody to go look something up for you, you just L-A-Z-Y, lazy. I'm the youth minister, so get ready. Anyway, so. See, because true religion isn't politics. True religion isn't even miracles. Miracles are a result of it. They're a result of it. But that's not what true religion is. You know, Jesus gave us the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. It's not going to change until you do what you're supposed to do. If you keep messing around, it ain't going to work out. Do what you're supposed to do. You know I'm talking to you, don't you? Yep. Quit messing around. That's not me. That's God. Because I've been debating on the last 5 minutes whether I'm going to say that or not. God says, quit messing around. Do what you're supposed to do. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. It ain't politics. Miracles are a result of it. Miracles are a result of it. So we should know what it is. But the thing about this is my point, is that we're looking for something in a place where it's not. We're looking for God in places He isn't. That's not His way. That's not His way. That's not His way. In fact, you can go and you can see where spectacular things did nothing to help people. Look at the feeding of the 5,000. Miraculous. Provision. Miracle of multiplication. We would say, that's amazing! The people tried to make Jesus king. Well, they were supposed to. Yeah, but not that way. And then Jesus talked about communion. That you have to drink my blood and eat my flesh. And all those 5,000, all of those 5,000, except for 12. So 4,800 or 988 of them left. And it was so bad that Jesus turned to Peter and said, you gonna leave too? And Peter said, I sold everything. Where am I going? Jesus almost had to start all the way over. Because one miracle got people messed up. It was spectacular. Oh my goodness. Glory to God forever that it was a miracle of provision and it was spectacular. Proved once and for all, without a doubt, that God will break the system of this world to provide for his people. Provided that they are there for the right reason. Because why were they there? They all came from all around to hear him teach. To hear him preach. Because just the chapter before, they had said, he preaches with authority. Yes. Not like the religious people that we know. And they were there for the right reason, so God was able to do a miracle in their midst. But look what happened immediately after. It's like Mark chapter 4 is true. That some having heard the word. Remember? Some having heard the word. That either the devil comes to steal it away. They have no root in and of themselves. And so they wither. You see? Other reasons. Things happen. We could get specific. We don't need to. Psalms 103. If you would. Verse 7. See, it's not God's way. God's way is supernatural and spectacular, not only spectacular. And the supernatural comes first. The supernatural comes first. And then the spectacular. But if we don't have the right foundation, I know this is not popular. My job is not to be popular. My job is to lay a foundation. And I'm not going to lay one other than what my man of God has laid. We can't forget these things. Because a house moved away from its foundation will fall. It will collapse.
It will.
The way the house will stand is if it remains on its foundation. So we as believers, why do we somehow magically think we can defy the laws of physics? Wherever did we get that crazy idea? Psalms 103, verse 7. God made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. In other words, God made the supernatural known to Moses and the spectacular known to the people of Israel. And it wasn't because the supernatural wasn't available to them. Because you can go back and you can look up Joshua, the son of Nun. And it said, Moses abided in the tabernacle. And he went out to address the people, but Joshua, the son of Nun, remained in the presence of the Lord. It was available. Or should we forget the mountain when they came out? And then all the people came. God said, I'm going to come down on the mountain. Get ready. And God came down and they all said, Moses, you talk to him. We don't want nothing to do with that. God's desire was that all of them be like Joshua. God made known his ways to Moses. Ways in the scripture is an interesting word. And it basically has four different contexts. It's talking about literally a road many times in the scripture, or a geographic location, right? That blind Bartimaeus was by the way, right? It's geographic. Or Jacob went in the way to Beersheba. It's geographic. It also talks of moral character. It talks of manner of life in a figurative sense. And in that sense, it's much more used. And it refers to the way of the wicked. The way of the wicked. But it also refers to the way of the righteous. Yes. So it refers to the moral character of one's lifestyle. Yeah. It also refers to the ways of man. Mm-hmm. Living and making our own decisions. Right? That's another way is used. Mm-hmm. It's also indicative of God's ways. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and his ways are righteous. See, it's talking about his ways, God's moral character, God's manner of life, God's path that he's on. Whether we like to admit it or not, we're all on a journey. Some of us are moving forward. Some of us are moving backward. Some of us are playing in the puddles. Right? Some of us are wallowing in the ditch. Some of us are hitchhiking. Some of us is driving ourselves. We're all on a journey. But God made known his ways to Moses. It's very interesting. It's very interesting. As mankind, we've struggled to understand God our Father. And for a long time, we couldn't even understand him as God our Father. He was the Holy One. He was Yahweh, the name that can't be spoken, right? So we struggled. It wasn't until Jesus came and started saying, my Father, that revelation even came to humanity. Right? There are some, though, that throughout history, they stood out because they learned something about God. They started to know his ways. Moses, Abraham, David, and others. And because of how God blessed them, we as humanity became very interested in, okay, what are you doing? Right? And so you see this cry kind of throughout the Old Testament of, God, show me your ways. We even have a song about it, right? Show me your way that I may walk. Right? We have a great, great religious song about it. Anyway, Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. Here's something interesting. In Psalms 103, it says that God revealed him, or God showed his ways to Moses, but we see something interesting in Exodus 33, that it wasn't just like this automatic thing. Why did certain men learn more of God? They asked. You want to know why people think God is sovereign? They didn't ask. Because if he would have asked, if they would have asked, he would have told them. Verse 12, Exodus 33, Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people. I kind of feel like this is how this conversation actually went. God, You've been telling me to lead these people. They're crazy. I was all good. But now my own brother. He started a rebellion with this idol. And my own sister. She got her issues. And she's all offended at me. She's a prophetess. I need some help. Okay. Back to the sanitized version. Thou hast been telling me, lead thine people. Sorry. But you've not let me know, whom will you send to me? In other words, I need help. You said, I know you by name, and you found favor with me. That's great. I'm happy about that. But in the face of a couple million people, your favor is kind of waning, God. These people got problems, and they're trying to give them to me. So if you're so pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I might know you and continue to find favor with you, because if I don't, these people are going to eat me alive. Oh, yeah, and by the way, God, remember, these is your people. He's not even trying to claim them at this point. He's like, they're yours. Oh, Moses, you man of faith and power. We see this cry throughout the Old Testament. And then it gets complicated. It was already kind of complicated. I think if God had a Facebook page with humanity, the relationship line would read, it's complicated. Not because he's trying to complicate it. Because we're complicated. Anyway, Isaiah chapter 55, it gets more complicated. Because just when you think you know, Isaiah 55 in verse 7. Now, Isaiah, you know Isaiah had a relationship with God. Because this is the man that gave us more specific prophecies about the Messiah than most of the other prophets. So much of Isaiah's ministry as a prophet was not focused on the nation. In fact, he's a great example of the prophet's ministry behind closed doors. Because so much of his ministry is not focused on deliver Israel from their natural enemies. So much of it is focused on the Messiah is going to do this. When he comes, he'll do this. So much of his ministry is focused on that. Verse 7 of Isaiah 55. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. And this is what God says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. So when we see that man has a way. The default way of man, we automatically know, ain't God's way. Because he said, my ways, they ain't your ways. Would you like a stunning, natural example of that? Do you want to know, you want to see something amazing in how God intervenes in human affairs? Do you want to see something? I don't have the time to talk about it because we got to keep moving. But go study out God's original plan for the nation of Israel before they had a king. And if you read closely, his plan for them was actually that they be a republic. That they have representatives from all their cities and towns. That they have an assembly of the priests. And that there's a holy man, a judge. The executive branch. And that man is raised up by God when needed. Do you think our system of government came from nowhere? Our founding fathers, they weren't just smart, they were spiritual. And they knew the scripture. You want to talk about God's ways not being man's ways? Just look at history. Man's way was to set up a king that had absolute power and that then declared himself to be God. God's way was, let's distribute the power amongst all you people. And then I'm just going to show you that I'm God. Because when you need somebody, I'll raise them up. Our very nation is an intervention. Our very nation is a way of God. I'm not saying it's perfect. It's not. I'm not saying we're executing God's vision for it perfectly. We're not. Because we's people. It's complicated. But do you see how God's way was not man's way? His way was different. And Israel couldn't understand it. So they said, hey, Samuel, when you die, can you give us a king? Because what you're doing is weird. Essentially, that's what they said. We don't understand it. And oh, by the way, your kids, they ain't doing what you're doing. That was a problem. Anyway, I'll get off that. But the point is that, you see, Israel couldn't fathom God's ways and they wanted to go the way of man. I just wanted to give you an example that God said, my ways, not your way. So continuing on. My ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. Verse 9. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay, so now it's more complicated. Because not only are his ways not our ways at all, as far as the heaven is above the earth, that's the difference between his way and our way. Basically, his way is alien. You might say it's extraterrestrial because it's outside of this earth. Because he's outside of this earth. He said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The way I look at this, not at all the way you look at it. You see? And there's this cry about, let's hear what God has to say. And he says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields its seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I desire for the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. Oh, that sounds familiar. Where have I heard that before? Maybe we'll get to it. Psalms 25 and verse 4. You can write that one down. Psalms 25 and verse 4 and 5. Just write it in your notes. Man, sometime I can't get unction for it because I think it's just like a natural thing. But sometime I just want to teach a class on how to take notes. Because I think a lot of people get hindered because they just don't know how to take a note. You know, so it's like, I'll just use my Bible. But you need to take notes because you're not going to get it all. And I love what Pastor Nancy said because there's a difference between taking notes and journaling what the pastor said. There is a difference. You know, in the world, we might just journal what's said. We might just take meeting minutes, right? But there's a difference when it comes to actually taking notes. Those things that stand out to you are the things you write down. You see what I'm saying? I don't have time to talk about it. But anyway, you should take notes. Not on your phone, because that's slow. I'm not against taking notes on your phone. It's just slow. So do something faster so you can take better notes. Anyway, Psalms chapter 25, verses 4 and 5. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. See, there's that cry again. Teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. But there's a problem. His ways aren't our ways. And there's a bigger problem. We can't attain to them because they're as far as the heavens are above the earth. Did you know the Old Testament law was God's effort to teach man his way? And it's not that the law had a problem. Man had a problem. People had a problem. They couldn't receive it. And if they did receive it, they became so focused and lasered in on, let's get it all right, completely missed the heart of the issue. Why? Because God's ways are not our ways. They're not the same. But there's hope. Or you can look at Psalms 119, verse 27. Psalms 119, verse 27. Just write this one down. Make me to understand the way of your precepts, so that I shall talk of thy wondrous works. I tell you what, sometime you ought to just read Psalms 119 for yourself. And I don't mean like read it by yourself or on your own. I mean, you ought to read it like we read Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3. Yeah. We ought to make it personal. I'll just warn you ahead of time, it takes about 35 minutes. But you'll be extremely blessed if you do. The prophets, the priests, the kings, and the holy men that gave us the old covenant scriptures talked of a time when everyone would know God's way, like Moses did, like Abraham did. They looked to an event that would change the relationship between God and man. No longer would God's will be a mystery, and no longer would man have to bear the burden of an impossible written code. And we see one of these promises in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 and 20. Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 and 20. You should look at this one. If you need to look in your table of contents so you know where Ezekiel is, it's good because we don't turn to Ezekiel a lot. But this is a good passage to know about because it talks about you. There's a lot of passages in the Old Testament that talk about the future of Israel, the future of the world, that talk about God's promises to Israel. Now, in the new creation, all of those are ours. But this one is particularly special. Ezekiel, chapter 11. I've given you quite a bit of time. Verses 19, 20. Oh, by the way, just rejoice because I don't normally give people this much time to find a scripture, even the youth. So, you know, that's why I encourage taking notes. So I'm being... You know, I'm trying to help. But I got a lot to get out. Anyway. And I will give them one heart. See, that's important. Remember that phrase, one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes. That word statutes could also be way. And keep my ordinances and do them. And they will be my people, and I will be their God. Yeah. Write this one down. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And then draw a little arrow to the right. And write Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. These two passages are almost identical. By the word of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. But I love this. I love this. This is wonderful. This is a wonderful promise. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. Really, what he's talking about is the local church, by the way. It will be exalted above the hills, and people will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. And the word will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Really, that's a dual promise. That's a promise of in the age of grace, there'll be a local church. And the word of God will go out from it. It's also a promise for when Jesus returns and sets up the new Jerusalem, which will be the local church of all local churches. It'll be epic. You think we got a good praise and worship team here? You ain't heard nothing yet. What's the point? We can know God's way. Turn in the New Testament to John chapter 17. Jesus was the event. Remember all these men in the Old Testament? They were looking for an event that would let us know God's way, that would put his heart on the inside of us. His will would no longer be a mystery. His statutes and ordinances, they would be attainable. He was going to take something out of us and put something else in. They were looking for an event. But Jesus was the event. John chapter 17 and verse 20. My prayer, this is Jesus praying. He's praying to the Father. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Remember Ezekiel? I'm going to put one heart in them. One heart. I pray that all of them would be one. Even as we are one, Father, for you're in me and I'm in you, may they also be in us, that the world may believe you have sent me. Jesus was the event. So that you can know God's way. You can know. Oh, wait a minute. If you can know God's way, you can operate like God. And if you can do what God does, you can have the result God has. If you do what God does, you can have the result He has. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, we all know this one. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. What's new? He put the one heart in you. He put one spirit in you so that you're one in Christ and Christ is one in Him. And so you're one with God, and so you can know His way. His way. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. For He has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son He loves, or into the kingdom of His glorious light. Why is that important? Because the kingdom of darkness contains man's way. And remember, He said, my way, it ain't your way. But the kingdom of His glorious light, the kingdom of the Son He loves, is His way. And He didn't just rescue you from the one. He translated you. He rendered you into a new form. And He put you in the other. So that now you can know His way. And what before was higher above the earth than the heaven, you know, higher above the earth as the heaven is above the earth, and that way was unattainable, unknowable, impossible. God did this. Actually, more accurately, He did this. So what is His way? That's the million-dollar question, right? Remember where it said in John, Jesus was the event, right? Now remember where it says in John chapter 8, where He said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. You remember that? If Jesus was the event that made God's way our way, then everything He said is instruction. Everything He said is the manual. Right? Right? Because He came to show us God's way. And then not only did He show us God's way and tell us about God's way, He put God on the inside of us so we could be united with Him and know God's way and actually do it. Go to Luke. So what is God's way? I'm so glad you asked. Luke chapter 17. Now see, this is the mystery that people, okay, if I can just know God's ways, I can get healed. If I can just know what God wants, I can be prosperous. If I can just know. So what's God's way? It It's a million-dollar question, isn't it? Literally. Luke chapter 17, verse 6. Don't roll your eyes at me. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Oh, what do you mean faith? That's why I said don't roll your eyes at me. Because so many people, if I could just know. Have faith in God. Oh. As a youth minister, I talk many times about acceptance and rejection by people. And so many times the answer to that is, believe God for friends. Don't try to find them. Let God bring them to you. Believe God for it. And this is the reaction you get. Oh, faith. Believe God for friends. It's the same thing with adult stuff. Hashtag adulting. It's the same. Mark chapter 20, or Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you can also say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Well, why didn't you just go to Mark chapter 11? Okay, go to Mark chapter 11. I think sometimes we forget faith is all throughout the Bible. Kenneth E. Hagin did not write the book of Mark. And even if he did, it's still in Luke and Matthew, so deal with it. I wanted to go there on purpose to show you there is more on faith than what we sometimes think.
Yes. Amen.
Come on now.
Come on.
Mark 11, 22. You can't preach a message on faith and not go to this. What are you talking about? Have faith in God. Are we Spirit of Faith Family Church or what? If you're coming here, you just better gird up for it. I'm just saying, come on now. Have faith in God. How about you start there? Well, God save me and I wander through this world like a beggar through the heat and the cold. Why don't you just have some faith in Him? You know, this also is rendered in another way, which is have the God kind of faith. Well, this is dumb. His way ain't your way.
I don't understand why nothing's working for me. Are you doing it your way?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I just don't see this prosperity thing. I don't know about this healing thing.
Are you doing it your way?
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 13, examine yourself and see what if you be in the faith. That means you're going to have to look down in here. You got to dig around a little bit. You got to see what's actually in there. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe. and you will receive it, and it will be yours. This is God's way. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. You know all those people that we talked about in the Old Testament? That they knew God in this special way? They had this special relationship that God sovereignly, quote unquote, orchestrated? Do you know they're all in Hebrews chapter 11? Isn't that weird? And you know what we call Hebrews chapter 11? In fact, it's in your most of our Bibles at the top. The Hall of Fame of Faith. Do you know that God himself is in the list? That would be awkward, wouldn't it? If you're like the guy that invented the sport and you're not in the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's like Vince Lombardi not being in the Hall of Fame of football. That's just weird, right? The way the game is played today is because of him. It's like Elvis Presley not being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's weird because the way they do music today is because of him. I know those are secular examples. Don't be so spiritual. Come on. We might be saved, but we still live here. So give me a little love. We don't want to be no earthly good. Because all the good that we can do is in earth. Because all heaven's already good. God don't need anybody to do good in heaven. All goodness is already happening there. You want to do good, you got to do it down here. Anyway, sorry. Sorry. Anyway, just got to barbecue a religious cow here a minute. It's fricassee. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews 11, verse 3. It's in my notes here, I promise. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. The way God made everything was by faith. He spoke it and believed it. And it came to be. You remember, we already read it in Isaiah 55, right? The word comes out of my mouth. And it, like the rain and the snow, goes down to the earth. And it doesn't return to me except it accomplishes its purpose. And then the very next thing he says, you'll go out in joy and be led in peace. Amen. Well, you remember what it says in Romans, don't you? All joy and peace in believing. See, this is God's way. This is how he rolls. You will not have the success of God unless you operate God's way. Here's why. Did you know that, yes, it's a biblical principle and it can work for any sinner, but any sinner doing the principles of faith will still not have the success of faith because you have something that a sinner does not have? Did you know that? You have something that the heathen don't possess. You have God in you. John chapter 17 says, you are all that God is. Because you are one with him. Where you go, he goes. What you do, he does. Guess I shouldn't have went to that movie. Guess I shouldn't watch that TV show.
Come on.
Guess I shouldn't have read that book. Or listened to that song. Whoops. There's a consecration issue with this too.
Yes, there is. Come on.
Because any way that you are in that is not God's way means you are outside of him. Now, I don't mean outside of him in your spirit. Not say, that's not what I said. You're outside of his ways. These things only work when you're in his ways. That's why Pastor preached on 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God. And he, do you remember last week he talked about it's whatsoever. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say whosoever is born of God. He said that later. But he said whatsoever. What's he talking about? The faith that's born of God. Right? Why is that? Because it's God's way. That's the faith that will overcome the world.
Right.
It's the God's way that overcomes the world because it's higher than the world.
Yes.
And you can walk in it. You can do it. The more you walk in God's way, the more you'll see the result that God has. If Brendan is a business tycoon. He's not today, but let's just pretend. We play little imagination games sometimes in the youth. Like last Wednesday, we imagined a nice little farm and fluffy sheep, but it had a good point to it. So with all of us, please imagine Brendan as the next Mark Zuckerberg. Right? Now I know. Just play along with me. If I want to have the same way, I need to addict myself. I need to intern myself, apprentice myself to the person already walking in the way. So if Brendan is a bazillionaire, and I want to become a bazillionaire the way that Brendan became a bazillionaire, then what I have to do is learn how he did it. And then repeat it. If I want to learn how God calls those things that are not as though they are. If I want to learn how God speaks to the dead and raises it to life. If I want to learn how God heals the blind. If I want to learn how God fed the 5,000. I have to walk in his way and learn how he did it. And then I can repeat it. And the reason all of this is possible, because remember, show me your ways. Show me your ways. Show me your ways. Remember that, all through the Old Testament, that cry, show me. God said, okay, I can't, so you're going to have to become like me. With God on the inside of you, you can operate in faith. And it's not just operating in faith principles. You can operate in it because it is God's way.
Yes. Yes.
Remember at the very beginning, I said if we move the house off of the foundation, sometimes faith doesn't operate in our life because we're not doing it God's way. One of the things about faith that we read in Mark 11 and Matthew 21 and Luke 17 is that you have to believe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you know God doesn't have that problem? He believes exactly what he says.
Yes.
And he says exactly what he believes.
Yes.
In fact, it says in the New Testament that these three are one and they agree.
Yeah.
God does not have a belief problem. But we do. Because Peter didn't sink because he didn't have enough faith. Peter sank because he didn't believe. Because his faith didn't stretch far enough to overcome that unbelief. But that wasn't a faith problem. Really, his unbelief grew. Because he looked at something. You know, that wave is... hey, Jesus. That's real interesting. Can you just let me... Jesus, that's a big wave. And then Jesus picked him up. And he said, why did you doubt? You can go read about it, Matthew chapter 14. He said, why did you doubt? See, that's not God's way. If you want God's success, you have to have God's way. We can start examining our life. One of the things about if faith is not working for you, just start looking at what's not God's way. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 quickly. You know, that's why James chapter, while you're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, James chapter 1 and verse 6 talked about if you're a double-minded man, don't expect to receive. And not only don't expect to receive, but you're unstable in all of your ways. See, God's not double-minded. We're the ones that have to renew our mind so that we're not double-minded. We are the ones that have to build belief in us. There was a minister one time that said, when he talked with God, he said, you know, God told him, whatever you believe, make sure it's in the scripture. And if you can't find it in the Bible, don't believe it. And to hear this minister talk, he says, as he progressed in life, he started to find there's a lot of things that he believed that he couldn't find in the Bible. See, it might be good, but is it God? It might be good, but is it God? Is it in the scripture? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's go over to... you know, we like verse 9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, for no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And God's revealed it by his Spirit. And that's a wonderful promise, isn't it? And we can find out what God said. And then the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Oh, yeah, praise God. Let's get it, the Spirit. But how about this? For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the Spirit within him? It's what's on the inside of you that generates some of the thoughts you have. You know why God doesn't have a belief problem? Because his Spirit agrees. And when he speaks out of his Spirit. And it's perfect belief. I mean, he's God. He can do that. That's how all of us got here. If we want to do the same thing, we are going to have to commune with our human spirit. We're going to have to spend some time finding out what do we really believe. You know, one thing I tell the teenagers is, watch yourself in unguarded moments. What do you say then? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. What you believe will come out. It will. It's just gonna happen. That's the time to catch yourself. You know? Because you walk into work in the morning and you're not really giving a lot of thought to spiritual things. You know, you're thinking about, I got to do this today and I got to do this today. You know, I got things I got to do. And somebody says, how you doing? And out of your mouth comes, I'm a day late and a dollar short. Oh, wait a minute. Why did I say that? Well, it's true. Well, truth doesn't equal belief. My kids watch this cartoon, and it's got I've got so much out of this cartoon. It's unbelievable. But one of the characters turns to the other one, and he goes, Kowalski, do you remember that conversation we had about true but unhelpful comments? There are things that are true that are not helpful. And besides, God calls those things that be not as though they are. Not those things that are as though they be not. So, okay, today, you might be a day late and a dollar short. That may be a fact. But what you should believe is that my God supplies all my need because I'm in him. And he's got more than enough. And so when you get to a place where you believe that, somebody said, well, how's it going? I'm fully supplied. Regardless of the facts, the truth, what I believe is, what I call into existence is, I am fully supplied. That's God's way.
Right. God's way.
That's God's way. Because when the universe was nothing, he said, let there be. And it became. He spoke into something that was not yet. And it became. Well, how are you doing? Whoa, that last chemo. Woo! But see, why did you say that? Why did you say that? Let's stop and examine. Well, they're close. They know how I'm really doing. Did God say, oh, well, Moses is close. They know. He knows how I'm really doing. I don't need to deliver Israel today. Of course not. Why did you say it? Because you believed it. You allowed something to dictate a belief in you that was not a way of God. I know it's blowing me away. But it's simple. See? When you identify, it's very simple. When you identify a place where you don't believe what you thought you believed, just then go to the scripture and find what God actually said. If you're dealing with sickness, instead of,
I always get the cold this time of year.
That may have been true up to this point. But why don't that's not the way of God. Maybe go to Psalms 103 where it says, he forgives all of my iniquity. And as a result, he heals all my diseases. Well, you know, I usually get the cold every time this year, but God's healing me. And what's born of God overcomes what's in this world. So God's healing power overcomes any germ, any bacteria, any virus that would try to enter into my body. And if by some chance it gets through, God supercharges my immune system with his anointing. Because from the inward man is renewed day by day. So my immune system is supercharged and it kills it before it gets started. Do you see the difference? You see? One is just stating facts. But we can believe facts. Facts can be believed or not believed. That's why there's a whole bunch of people who believe the earth is flat. Crazy. All because some athlete said it. Oh my goodness, it's craziness. See, facts can be believed or not believed. So can truth. Truth can be believed. And all you have to do, if you're born of God, is make a decision to walk in his ways because he's made it possible for you to do it. And if you walk in faith, his way is no longer a mystery. His way becomes, oh, I just got to believe it and I just say it. Last point that I'm going to make very quickly. I don't have time to enumerate on it, but I'm going to make it and be done. Is that one reason that we sometimes don't do well in faith? Is because all of this that I've said, God is, faith is based on God's way, that we're part of God so we can walk in his way. When we try to believe God outside of his way, failure will result. When someone says, I'm going to believe God for 13 oil wells in my backyard, well, you have a problem. Because God already ceased in his way of creation. And if he did not put the oil underneath your backyard, do you see? That's outside of his way. Now, what would be in line with his way? Father God, you know where the silver is and where the gold is. And Father, I don't know anything about oil today, but I have it in my heart. And your way says that I can decree a thing and it'll come to me and light will shine on my path. So I decree that by your strength and by what you've put in my heart, I'm an oil tycoon. And then you start doing what God says to do to put you in position to own 13 oil wells. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? Yeah. Doing the one, you're getting out of God's way.
Right.
That's not the way he did.
Right.
Getting in the other, you're getting into God's way. Does that make sense?
Yes.
If you believe in faith, according to God's way, you'll always have success. And when I say God's way, I mean his character, his action, how he conducts his manner of life. When you try to be in faith outside of God's way, failure will always result. But you don't have to walk in failure. You have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. The Spirit reveals the deep things of God, and the Spirit is in you. So as you spend time with God, you can find out what is his way. Not just in a general sense, but for you individually. And then you can begin applying how God operates, which is faith, to the way that he has showed you. And that will always bring success because that is born of God and it will overcome the system of this world.